This is VOA News via remote. I'm Tom McNeil. Hundreds of people marched through the city of Dawei in Myanmar Sunday, calling for the end of the military junta that seized power last month and a return to democratic government. The southern city has become a hotspot for opposition to the February 1st coup. Security forces in Myanmar Saturday again met protests against last month's military takeover with lethal force, killing at least seven people by shooting live ammunition at the demonstrators. Experts say that threats from China and North Korea will loom large over the Biden administration's first cabinet-level trip abroad. It's part of a larger effort to bolster U.S. influence and calm concerns about America's role in Asia. A senior administration official says the U.S. is trying to reach out to North Korea, but has yet to get a response. That makes consultations with the reclusive country's neighbors, Japan, South Korea, and China, all the more critical. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin head to Japan and South Korea as the administration seeks to shore up partnerships with the regional allies. Afghanistan's Interior Minister Masoud Andarabi says that Afghan troops can hold their ground even if U.S. troops withdraw, challenging a U.S. warning predicting a withdrawal would yield quick territorial gains to the Taliban. And Arabi's comments in an interview Saturday with the Associated Press were the government's reaction to U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's warning issued last weekend in a sharply worded letter to Afghanistan's president. Washington is reviewing a deal the Trump administration struck with the Taliban over a year ago that calls for the withdrawal of the remaining 2,500 troops. This is VOA News. London's police department is under scrutiny for the way officers handled some participants at an unofficial vigil for a London woman whose killing has a fellow officer facing murder charges. Hundreds of people disregarded a judge's ruling and police request by gathering at a park on Saturday night in honor of Sarah Everard. The 33-year-old was last seen alive nearby on March 3rd. Demonstrators said they wanted to draw attention to the fear many women see as a daily part of British life. Video of Saturday's vigil-turned-rally showed several male officers grabbing a hold of several women and pulling them away in handcuffs as onlookers screamed and shouted. Bolivia's restored leftist government has arrested the conservative interim president who led the country for a year. She's one of more than a dozen people in custody or facing arrest as officials pursue those involved in a 2019 ouster of socialist leader Evo Morales, which they regard as a coup. Jeanine Añez was detained in the early morning in her hometown of Trinidad and was flown to the capital. She termed the charges abuse and persecution. Saturday's arrest worsens tensions in a South American country already torn by a cascade of perceived wrongs suffered by both sides. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has urged New Yorkers to wait for the facts, but patience has grown thin in the state legislature, where leaders in the state assembly have announced an impeachment investigation. That is a first step toward potentially removing Cuomo from office. Cuomo has rebuffed calls to resign and staked his political future on the outcome of an independent investigation by the New York Attorney General, who is examining allegations that the governor sexually harassed or inappropriately touched several female aides. The road to any impeachment proceeding is complicated, though, and it could take months to play out. And recapping one of our top stories, there has been more violence in Myanmar as a civilian leader of Myanmar's government hides and vows to continue to support a revolution to oust the military that seized power in last month's military coup. Security forces again met protesters with lethal force, killing at least seven, according to local accounts. At the end of the message by Man Win Quang Than, who was named the acting vice president, he flashed a three-finger salute that has become a symbol of resistance to the military rule. Via remote, I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
Hello, and welcome to Music Time in Africa. I'm your host, Heather Maxwell, broadcasting from Voice of America Home Studios in Washington. Are you ready to get your Pan-African groove on? I hope so, because I've got an awesome show for you today. Did you know that International Women's Day is celebrated around the world on Monday, March 8th? Well, it is. And every year it has a theme. And this year, the theme is Choose to Challenge. So, my challenge is to rock this whole hour with incredible music and stories by African women. So, I dug into my audio archives and pulled the best music interviews from 2012, that's the year I started hosting this show, up to the present. And now I'm presenting you with this extraordinary hour of music listening. It rocks. And you're going to be so proud and amazed at the contribution that these women have made and continue making to African music. Who's featured in today's show? Okay, we've got live music and conversation highlights from Sona Jubate, Umu Sangare, Zap Mama, Stella Mwangi, Amara Brown, and Lena Bahule. Also sprinkled in throughout the show, we're just jamming to great tunes by other female artists, Zuchu, Simi, Aster Aweke, and Aya Nakamura. So that's it. That's today's show. Let's rock this out. We begin in the Gambia with its premier artist and first female kora master, Sona Jubate. This is her biggest hit, Gambia. Everyone, Heather here. So that's Sona Jubate's Gambia. Now, Sona is an accomplished composer. She sings and scores music soundtracks for award-winning films such as The Motherland and Mandela, The Long Walk to Freedom. But she's also a trailblazer in modernizing the 700-year-old tradition of music making in West Africa known as Djelia. She explains more in this excerpt of our conversation, recorded June 5th, 2018. I started out by asking her what brings her to Washington, D.C.
Well, I'm here for the inaugural Africa Day symposium at the World Bank in Washington. So I'm here mainly to give a presentation on the work that I'm doing in the Gambia and also finishing it with a little performance with an acoustic version of my ensemble.
You're in the middle of a larger summer 2018 tour. How has that been going?
It's been going great. You know, it's been amazing to be exposed to new audiences, I would say, particularly obviously making a debut in the U.S. So that's been something that I've really enjoyed. And I think it's just the start of, hopefully, the start of a new area in the world. But it's been great experiencing different audiences and different receptions from different sides of the world.
Let's get to the big wow factor for most people. You are the first female kora virtuoso to come out of West Africa to play professionally. Can you break that down for us just a little bit, starting with what is a griot? for those who don't know?
Well, a griot is part of a very old tradition which dates back to the 13th century when the Mali Empire was at its strongest day. And since then, there has been the formalization of this tradition, which has then now become hereditary to be passed down within certain families. And the Djibati family is one of these griot families, which they have the exclusive right to play certain instruments that belong to the griot. And it's associated with the empire building. It's associated with a lot of the nationalism, which is why people have so much pride in the griot tradition still now, because it gives you those feelings of, you know, being part of something that has predated Gambia, Senegal, Guinea, and all these separate countries. It brings back the memories of when all of that was actually unified as part of this Mali Empire, and the traditions were shared. So it has a huge power, even though the Mali Empire and its effluence, of course, has long gone. This tradition still carries the feeling and the sense of belonging and the sense of identity, which is so important to people of West Africa. So the Mandeng Empire is still very much, the music is very much an identifying factor of this tradition. So it's a hereditary tradition. Your band? We have an interesting group, and it's partly what I was working towards so hard was I did not want, what people would expect. I wanted to create an ensemble who could bring another sense of musicality to the group. So we have two of the musicians are from Jamaica, in Jamaican origins, one from Senegal, and one from St. Lucia. So we have like an interesting natural expression that goes on in the group, but it's taken a lot of time also for those who are not rooted in this tradition to make those connections and to be able to express freely within a tradition which is quite specific. So that has taken a lot of time and development.
So how is it that you got interested in playing the kora specifically, since that was probably more of a challenge than it would have been, say, to just sing or do another instrument that women traditionally do?
Yeah, well, again, it was my fortune to have the kora in my hands from such a young age, because my brother was studying with my father when he was young. And there's a big age gap between us, so he started to teach me when I was like around 4 years old.
Your brother?
My brother, right. And I had shown like interest, just like my son, shown a lot of interest in music from when I was very young. So by the time I got to when I start to understand what is it that I want to do musically with my career, I had so much foundation in the kora, and going through so many different other traditions, other instruments, and other modes of expression, it was the only one that still had this purity with me that I could connect with and that I felt I was free in. I didn't have to try to be something. It was the only thing I could just be me, and it was what it was. So when I was 17, I decided I want to go and study with my father. I want to learn the older repertoire. I want to know some more of the repertoire from my grandfather's generation. So I took the time out to go and study with him, and that's really where the turning point was in terms of this is now what I have to continue with.
All right. Hey, everybody. You just heard Sona Djibati from the Gambia talking with me back on June 5th, 2018 about her debut tour in the U.S. and her trailblazing path in music as the first female kora master from the Gambia. Happy International Women's Day. We are celebrating African women in music all hour long with lots of clips like the one you just heard. But first, let's rock. Joromi by Simi.
Joromi, Joromi, I want you to love me. Joromi, baby.
Joromi, Joro.
Kilo de, kilo de. Why you know they call me? Kilo de, baby.
Kilo de, Joro.
I didn't give you signal.
Joromi.
Why you know they see me?
Joromi.
I give you green light to tire. I'm a killer, bubble,
Joromi.
Yeah, you know they fumble,
Joromi.
I go shoot my shots, yo, Joro. So, Joro, baby, take my number.
Take my number.
You know talk to your friend, oh, Joro mi baby, oh,
Joro mi Joro.
She be wallo so for me, you talk say it like me, ah, I be rolling back on.
Kilo de Joro,
I dey give you signal,
Joro mi.
She you know they see me, ah,
Joro mi.
I give you green light, fire,
Joro mi Joro.
On my kilo.
And you're listening to
Music Time in Africa
on Voice of America with Heather Maxwell.
All right, so here is another amazing female vocal artist, Marie Dawn. You might know her better as Zap Mama. Since 1991, Marie has released 8 albums, toured the world over several times, and worked with American icons like Erykah Badu, Al Jarreau, Talib Kweli, Common, and South African legend Miriam Makeba. I met Marie on a sunny afternoon, September 12th, I remember that because that's my birthday, 2017, in her living room in Brussels, Belgium. We spoke for over an hour, and she performed an amazing vocal improvisation using a loop machine. Here are some highlights.
Hello, Marie.
Hello.
It's very nice to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Now, you were born in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Mm-hmm. I'm born in Congo East, where all the trouble is now, but always been. And we arrived in a catastrophe here in Belgium because my father is a Belgian and my mom she's a Congolese. Then we have to escape. At that time, late 60s, it was like, what is African and what the TV and what the books said about Africa? Especially the Congolese, we are the colonial and we're going to help those poor African. And then this is the way they supposed, but they didn't really went there. They saw a woman with 4 kids with a lot of courage and power, and they were amazed by her and helped her to be herself and integrate the Belgian world. And my mom kept at home this traditional home and a lot of very good advice to be free. That was my education. So that's amazing woman who passed away now in 2014. And received a lot from her and a lot from my Belgian family too. For me, it is the basic of the power of my music.
What musical artists inspired you in the beginning?
My first love was jazz music because Al Jarreau was the first person who got it because of this cat. He was my inspiration.
Sometimes words and music get a little bit mixed together and you don't know quite what to say.
Miriam Makeba supported me a lot in the beginning. She was here. I was composing. I was like this student who loved voice. And I sing to her and I say, come to my place. And she starts singing and teach me and help me to write some lyrics. And straight away invite me to opening her show that I spend a lot of time with her.
Wow. Can you remember the song that you...
Yeah, Gusapel.
How does it sound?
It's an a cappella song.
Wow.
Yeah, you're the man.
right. Hi, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that archive clip of Zap Mama speaking with me from Brussels, Belgium. For more of that interview and that live improv I mentioned that we didn't get to hear in this clip, you can go to my Facebook page or my YouTube channel and watch it there.
Hi, this is Lyra from South Africa, and you're listening to Music Time in Africa with Heather Maxwell.
All right, so here's Zuchu from Tanzania with her current smash hit, Sukari. And after that, more great music and conversation, all made by African women and the diaspora. Happy International Women's Day.
Are you nice? Ananambia ongeza,
ongeza.
Japo imethibitishwa ila itampoteza. Ikipanda ni bala, ikishuka na matara. Asijapata madhara, akaikosa na hali. Lata yake msala, shira ya kizanzibari. Na misi mjimi wala, akitaka nampa. Aisukari
nampatia
sugar.
Sukari by Zuchu. Hey guys, how y'all doing?
You're inside Music Time in Africa.
In honor of International Women's Day, we are rocking to nothing but music made by women of Africa and the diaspora. And we're getting to know a few of them from clips of archived interviews. We've already met Sona Jobate, Zap Mama, and now Norwegian Kenyan singer, rapper, and entrepreneur Stella Mwangi. Now, Stella made history in 2011 with a song called Haba Haba, and she just keeps on rising, even during COVID times, specifically with music synchronization in Hollywood's TV and film industry and in console gaming. This is Not Your Ordinary, her 2019 track for the dance rhythm game, Just Dance.
Riding in the city like the name is P. Diddy. Still getting popping with my girl since a kitty. I see you checking up on me like you needy. I shake my thing, make them yap in Swahili. Wabi yama chomani eke pili pili. Niko maji maji si giri giri. Boy, I could fit, he can giri giri. Kakitu kwenye kadishika, credit credit. Credit, credit. I'm in the real jungle, no Katy Perry. No shackles on my feet like Mary Mary. Here to stay very, very, cause I'm heavy, heavy. Remember, I'm not your ordinary. Remember, I'm not your ordinary.
All right, guys, so that's the sound of Stella Mwangi today. Now let's listen in to a clip of the interview I had with her in November 2020. I in Washington and she in Oslo, where she tells us how she got her historic start in Norway. Hello, Stella. How are you?
What's up, Heather?
So you're in Oslo, Norway?
Yes, in the ice cold Oslo right now.
I want to revisit the past for just a minute, because in 2011, as you know very well, you made history with your song and your music video and your performance, Haba Haba. So let's take a listen to that. We'll come back and I want to ask you how that has changed your life.
When as a little girl, my grandma told me that I could be just anything that I wanted to. When as a little girl, my grandma told me that I could be just anything that I wanted to. She said that everything I work for, everything I wish for, everything I look for, it is right in front of me. Everything I work for, everything I wish for, everything I look for, it is right in front of me. And she said, Haba Haba, just like Baba. Haba Haba, just like Baba. Haba Haba, just like Baba. Haba Haba, just like Baba.
Oh, you know, that song still, it's so precious to me, you know. It's so dear to me because those are wisdom words from my grandparents, yes, from the elders in my family, saying that, because I've always been someone who always rush things, you know, and they've always been like, just take step by step by step. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, you know, your glass is already full, you know.
Well, you made history with Eurovision Song Contest. You were the first Black woman, as an African woman, as a Kenyan woman, to be singing in the contest in an East African language, right? And it was the first time that Norway had an African woman representing Norway.
You know, I came here with my family in 92 as a political refugee, but they hadn't seen so many, you know, foreigners at all, so I was going through the hardest time of my life. But the most beautiful thing is that this contest, they're actually, you know, it's people voting. And in my year, it was like a record of how many people were voting, because, you know, Norway really proved the rest of the world that, you know, music, it's not about color, it's not about any of that, it's about the feeling that you're giving to and the honesty that you're giving to. And that was just history.
Hello world, my name is Wiala, the Lioness of Africa, and you are listening to Music Time in Africa with Heta Maxwell. Keep it locked.
Hello, everybody. I hope you enjoyed meeting Stella Mwangi. There is more amazing music and conversation with female artists of Africa and the diaspora. In fact, we're about to enjoy 15 minutes of a non-interrupted live music session from 2012, recorded at VOA Studios in Washington with Acoustic Africa 3. That's Dobe Nyahore, Karis Fotso, and Manu Gallo. But first, let's slow down and enjoy a few minutes of the living legend, Aster Aweke, and her song, Jewa. You are a respectful and well-behaved guy, she sings. Even animals notice. And that was Aster Awike with Chewa, the title track from her 2019 album. I'm Heather Maxwell, and it is International Women's Day, March 8th. Yeah. And to celebrate, we are rocking to music by women all hour long, right here on Music Time in Africa. Now, let's jump into this archive recording of a music interview from 2012 on the Music Time in Africa set at VOA with Acoustic Africa 3. The clip is 15 minutes long, so settle in and enjoy.
Hello, hello. Manu Gallo. I'm bass player and singer.
And where are you from?
I'm from Ivory Coast.
Okay. All right. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Dobe Nyaore. I come from Ivory Coast too. And I'm singer, dancing, I dance, I play percussions, and voila, all.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Karis Fotu. I'm from Cameroon. Guitar player, singer. Thank
Welcome.
You. Thank you.
Manu!
Yeah.
What are you going to sing for us?
Nalindiyo, qui parle de l'amour. Ça veut dire je t'aime. Le monde a tellement besoin d'amour. Le monde a tellement besoin de chaleur. Donc voilà, c'est une manière pour moi de parler d'amour. Et, voilà.
Is this in French or English? No, not English.
Non,
French
c'est en Lingala.
Lingala.
Lingala. Susi ke ya kama kili ya kani mo pele, na pele ni polo mana kana kondiso. Na susi ke na moleli kalendio na kanga na bolidi.
I'm not afraid to die.
Do you have something for us?
Yeah, I have one song for you.
What is the name of the song?
Samahani. Samahani, yeah. Samahani means forgive me. I sing in Swahili language.
Now, you're from Ivory Coast, but you're singing in Swahili.
Yeah, I sing in many, many languages from Africa. I grew up in the Pan-African village in our Ivory Coast. C'est mon habitude.
Okay, it's what you like. Okay, wonderful. Mm.
Caress.
Yes.
What do you have?
A nice song for you.
Great.
The name of my song is Lomjia. Lomjia in Bamileke tribe means marriage. But in this song, I'm talking about the first marriage. Because in Cameroon, and I'm sure in all places in Africa, there is many teenagers who are obliged to leave school to marry with someone they don't love.
Girls.
And always is someone more old than her. Yeah, but she's obliged to do it.
So you are singing that you do not want that.
I say no, no, no.
I think I heard a little bit of English in that song. Did I?
Yeah, normally the original song is "Force mariage, c'est pas bon," is in French. But I did it in English, sing some years, because I need people to understand what I'm saying.
That's great.
Yeah.
your Inside Music Time in Africa. Stay locked in with Heather right here on Music Time in Africa.
Yes. Hello, everybody. Did you enjoy that studio interview and performance by Acoustic Africa 3? Man, I sure did. Well, listen, we are not done celebrating International Women's Day. I've got three more amazing artists for us. There's Amara Brown, Lena Bahule, and Umu Sangare. So let's dig right in. Here's Amara and I in Harare in 2018. Now, we're talking about how she manages her career in respect to her late father and world music icon, Andy Brown, and his legacy. And then she performs a beautiful live acoustic performance of her song, Next Lifetime, to the Imbira.
How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm fine. It's so great to meet you in person.
It's great to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you. So you come from a family background of amazing musicians, your father especially, the late Andy Brown. How do you feel like you're falling in the lineage in terms of being your own unique artist and also carrying on the name of the Brown family?
Yeah. My dad was very much a world music artist, and that was his strong suit, and he owned it. Me, as this Afropop artist, what was important for was just to be the best version of myself. And my father loved that. He respected that. He treasured that. He supported that. But it was very tricky when he passed away because Zimbabwe expected a female version. However, my story is different. My father grew up in a village. I grew up in the city. I'm different. I'm a female. I'm an Afropop artist. The messages that I have to sing about are different. I always pay tribute. I perform his music ever so often. We have his legacy now to uphold, but I'm also creating my own and contributing to the family name more so than anything else, but with my own shoes to fill and grow.
Tell me about your top song, Achilles.
Yes. A couple of months prior to releasing the album, I was in a relationship and we had a fight and I felt really used. And I looked around me and I realized that, you know, in African culture and particularly in Zimbabwean culture, it's very strange to have a woman in power. And it's been amazing. It landed up Song of the Year. The video did the most. We debuted it on a major station across the continent and it's done fantastic online. And I'm very glad with the stats. We're going on 500,000, so I'm super, super proud right now in a space of just over a month. It's done great.
So you play the imbira.
Yes.
It's your traditional side.
Yes. See you in the next lifetime, my love.
taste what I won't touch. It's more than lust, I'll admit that much.
Yes, and that was Amara Brown with Me in Harare, Zimbabwe from 2018. I'm Heather Maxwell, and we are rocking to the sounds and the stories of women today. Next up is Lena Bahule. Now, this clip is from a conversation I had with her in Maputo, 2019.
My given name is Elena Eneida Paz Bahule, and my popular name is Lena Bahule. I'm a singer, and I research about vocal music, body music, and also a little bit with the more global, contemporary, Western kind of approach. Due to the whole colonial process, like, my parents sort of got away from the mother language, and they didn't really, like, teach us to speak any mother language from here. And that was a big issue. I was like, oh my God, I only sing in English and Portuguese.
So how did you resolve that problem?
I started listening to a lot of Pan-African mother languages. And then to get used to that articulation of it, to get used to the sound of it, understand like the intonation of it. And then I started creating words that sounded like African languages. Language is not just a language, it says all about the culture and how people live. That's why my research came to the body, because I was like, okay, I don't speak my mother language, but how does my body can speak that language? To Brazil, like when you're far from home, people want to know who are you and what are your roots, you know?
So do you have any albums out?
I do. I have two. My first one is called Nomade, and it talks about like meetings, like it's nomadness. So I left home and I'm always like transitioning between home and diaspora.
What was your best song on that album?
My best song? I love them all.
What one did most people like the most?
A lot of people listen to the Kungo one. Haya Kungo, Kungo, Haya Kungeke. Haya Kungo, Kungo, Haya Kungo. We are more, tis a maliru kuse matuma. Ulambo zea.
All right. Hello, everyone. That was Lena Bahule from Mozambique. So, guys, there's time for one more amazing woman to celebrate. And that woman is Umu Sangare. Now, Umu is a Grammy Award winner for world music. She has released 9 albums throughout her career and most recently featured on Beyoncé's visual album, Black is King. She's also a fierce women's rights activist. So she got stuck in the Washington, D.C. area due to COVID, and I was able to have a one-on-one conversation with her. This was back in August, and it was at an outdoor party given in her honor. So we're going to listen to the clip of that where she explains how current French superstar Aya Nakamura symbolizes the immense and long-term impact that Umu's music has had on African women's empowerment since the late 1980s. We start by listening to a little excerpt of Umu's beautiful music, and then we get straight to the interview.
Nedianye mo ni mirimanyu ine filani interi jarabi manyi.
Hello, Umu. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Anna.
It's nice to see you.
Thank you, me too.
I know you are a big advocate for women. You mm-hmm. always have been.
Mm-hmm.
From when you first came out with Bifuru, which means, you know, marriage today,
mm-hmm.
and talked about marriage and frankly about problems and issues with women, how have things changed or developed since then, almost 30 years ago?
It helped women a lot, and it continues to help them because I excited them to believe in themselves, in singing and in working. So all of a sudden, I can say that it had an effect because many young girls, many women say, I really want to be like Umu Sangaré. When I hear everything that she says in her songs, it gives me energy, it gives me the courage, and also I see what she herself does in life. I want to be like Umu Sangaré.
Me too.
Yeah.
Moi aussi.
Même la chanteuse.
Even the singer, there's a Malian singer who was raised in France, Aya Nakamura.
Yes.
Hello, papi, mais qui va ça? J'entends des bails à trois son main. À ce qui paraît, je te cours après. Mais ça va pas, mais t'es taré. Mais comment ça?
Today, I was so surprised to discover that all of her inspiration comes from me, even to the point that she sang, I want to be, I am like Umu Sangaré. So while making the clip, they gave me the crown, and I gave it to her saying, here, take the queen's crown. You are the queen now. Go on, like Umu Sangaré. So all of that to say that I couldn't imagine that in France, the kids that are there, who are they themselves, because I received letters of encouragement from so many people in Africa, but I didn't think that even those who don't speak my language, because they don't speak Bambara well at all, the kids born in Europe. But I didn't know that the consciousness was turned toward me. So it encouraged me. And I see that it's the result of this struggle since the beginning. And it gives me the courage to continue with this fight.
Umu Sangaré, c'était vraiment un grand plaisir.
Thank you.
Thank you so
much. Thank you.
Yes, and with the sounds of Umu Sangaré and protege Aya Nakamura, it is time to say goodbye. Thank you all for joining me, and happy International Women's Day.